Mark 14, verse number 55. In this Textus Receptus, there are two false witnesses that witness that the Textus Receptus is full of errors. Every person that we're going to look at tonight, and any person who's ever said the Textus Receptus has errors in it, they can't point out one. They just say it's flawed. What you need to know is when Jesus was on trial in Mark 14, look at verse 55. It says here, and the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death and found none. They couldn't find anybody. For many bear false witness against him, but their witnesses agreed not together. Please remember that. Because what did it say in the Old Testament? Before you can put somebody to death, two or three witnesses have to testify. It can never be someone's word against somebody else. That was God's rules in Deuteronomy. So when Jesus is on trial, they're trying to pull witnesses up, but none of the witnesses agree. None of them agree. Notice verse 57. And there arose certain and bare false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. Notice verse 59. But neither so did their witness agree together. There's no agreeing witness against Jesus that could corroborate evidence. Okay, big word, right? Same thing with your King James Bible. We're going to look at two witnesses tonight that scholars say are more accurate, but they don't even agree together, just like the witnesses against Jesus. The two false witnesses is Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. So you've got the Bible being penned with the apostles, then the Greek New Testament copies, the Textus Receptus, and then the King James Bible. This is the pure line. Then we've looked at the bad line of Bibles and Origen's Hexapla in Alexandria. Then from Eusebius's Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, one is found in 1481. The Sinaiticus we looked at last week is found in 1844 by Tischendorf, and we found out what a horrible lost man he is. These two, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, supposedly date back to the 4th century. They disagree 8,000 times just between each other. 8,000. They disagree 70%, which is basically 12 times per page. There's like 400 pages, leaves. They disagree. We're not talking with the Bible. We're talking between each other. They disagree 12 times a page. Westcott and Hort took the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus, and in 1881, Westcott and Hort used these two manuscripts to give us the corrupt Alexandrian manuscripts of Origen as the Greek text for the revised version. Their Greek text has served for the foundation of all other translations since 1881. Here's how it's went. The perversion has gone this way. It's gone Tischendorf, Westcott and Hort with their Greek text, Nestle-Aland, United Bible Society, and literally every Bible except your King James Bible. If we stop tonight, isn't this enough for you to never touch another Bible other than the King James? If you know that all other Bibles come from this garbage, this is their text behind them. Look at how corrupt it gets. Westcott and Hort, these two men denied the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. They said the blood doesn't save. These two men have been in hell for over 100 years. But they were Bible scholars. They denied a literal hell. They didn't believe in hellfire. One of them wrote in his writings, if God has a place of eternal punishment, then I quit Christianity. In other words, he was against hell. All this garbage. He denied salvation by grace through faith. They both, Westcott and Hort, they believed in baptismal regeneration, or you got to get baptized to get saved. In the 1880s, right before their RV came out, they joined a theosophical society that had Madame Blavatsky in it. We're going to look at her tonight. These men were open about they liked to pray and contact the dead. They had seances. But these are Bible scholars behind the Greek text of all the other Bibles. It gets darker. So now, remember Theosophical Society. Westcott and Hort, these two men cannot be trusted because of their occult involvement. They were very occultic. Vaticanus, which is called Codex B, and Sinaiticus, found at Mount Sinai, is called Codex Aleph. You'll hear me say B and Aleph tonight. Both were produced under the order of Constantine back in the 4th century. So you just got to keep this in mind. They were found in the later on, 1,000 years later, and about 1,400 years later, but they date back to the 4th century or 350. Westcott and Hort used Vaticanus and Sinaiticus to update the authorized version. They hated the received text. They hated the King James Bible. Look, if somebody's hating the Bible and they want to change it rather than let the Bible change them, shouldn't that be a red flag? So you don't want to play with their material. That's their idea. We need to update the King James, just like all the Bible translators today. It's too archaic. We need to update the blah, 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 blah. Okay. They said, Westcott and Hort said this, that the readings of Aleph and B should be accepted as the true readings. They stand far above all documents. They're very pure, excellent, and are free from corruption. These men were so deluded. Remember I told you both of them? 8,000 differences between them. 12 per page. They don't even agree with each other. But these are most pure documents? Vice President Moody of Moody Bible Institute, he said this about the two documents. Aleph and B are depraved documents. They're depraved. John Bergen said this. These are scholars who disagree that Westcott and Hort did a good thing by taking Vaticanus and Sinaiticus and making a Greek text from it. John Bergen, if you get anything from John Bergen, it's solid. Now, he wrote back in the 1800s, but anything he wrote about the Bible is fabulous. He did a coalition. He said this, I have convinced myself by laborious collation that they are the most corrupt of all. You know what collation is? That's where you take word for word and compare it. That's a collation. Very few people study that way nowadays. John Bergen did. He said, I have studied word for word each of the texts, and they are corrupt. They are the suppositories. I know how we use that word, and I kind of agree, but if you don't know what I'm talking about, praise the Lord. But he said, they are the suppositories of the largest amount of fabricated and intentional perversions of truth that he has found. John Bergen also said they exhibit a fabricated text and are shamefully mutilated. This is the two, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. Now, editors of new Bibles even said the text of Westcott and Hort was just rewritten by scribes. It's like people would scratch it out and then write in there whatever they wanted. And that's a person that published new Bibles. E.W. Kenyon said, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus are disfigured documents. Nobody should be using them for the Bible. But Gordon Fee said they were copied from an altered papyrus. The recensional altered nature of Vaticanus is known by everyone. These are corrupt documents. Our dilemma, he said, this is our problem. We know too much about their corruption to believe them. But now, if you go to Bible college anywhere, that's what's pushed. Westcott and Hort, Nestle Aland, and United Bible Society, same corrupt Bible text. He said, we've been doing it for the past 100 years. He said, it's so frustrating. He said, we know we're in an area of bad text, and we can't get out of it because we've been pushing it for so long. In some cases, the text has been edited 16 times. This is what he's saying. He said, in some places, you can tell it's been crossed out and rewritten over and then blotted out and rewritten over. He said he's counted up to 16 times in one place. He said, does that sound like a good document? No, it's ridiculous. Even though Westcott and Hort have been debunked, they continue to be lifted up by Christian colleges and universities which promote Nestle Aland and the United Bible Society texts or UBS. Okay? All right, Edwin Palmer. Now, these are scholars who, how could they possibly agree that this is a good text? Edwin Palmer was the executive secretary of the NIV, and he was a Calvinist, which tells you his doctrine was way off. Okay? He said, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus are more reliable and accurate than the text of the King James Bible. Somebody paid you off. Either that or you're smoking dope. Robert Youngblood, he said the readings found in Vaticanus and Sinaiticus are to be preferred. J.B. Phillips said Westcott and Hort text is the most reliable. Wow. And J.B. Phillips was the author of the foreword of the New American Standard Bible. Get this, Lewis Foster, he was a member of the NIV committee and the New King James committee. So in 72, he's on the committee that gives us the NIV. Then in the 90s, he's on the committee that gives us the New King James. Does anybody smell a rat? All right. Lewis Foster said, they are the most reliable and dependable texts. If you knew that that was one of the guys on the New King James Bible committee, I'd never touch a New King James again. These men's faith is in the corrupt work of Origen. Remember, it goes all the way back here to Alexandria, Egypt. Vaticanus. Now, let's look at Vaticanus here. It has been altered. Scholars say it's been altered by at least two hands. It differs from the received text where we get our King James Bible 8,000 times. That's just Vaticanus. That's one change per verse in the Bible. It omits 2,000 keywords just from the Gospels. Words like Lord, Christ, Jesus, God. 2,000 times. It omits 1,000 sentences and 500 clauses. And watch, it adds 500 words that did not exist previously, that don't exist anywhere else. That's the Vaticanus. This is what was found in the Vatican and was sold to the Vatican Library in 1475 by Cardinal Bessarion, if you want to do the research on it. The Vaticanus, 2,000 words are modified, 600 readings that did not occur in any other manuscript, 600 readings. Let's look at the Sinaiticus. This is Aleph. This is found, remember, in the monastery trash can by von Tischendorf in 1844. 9,000 changes in this text. Remember, Vaticanus was 8,000 differences. This is 9,000. 4,000 words are omitted from the Gospels, while they add 1,000 words to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 2,000 words are repositioned and alters 1,000 other words. 1,500 readings that appear in no other manuscript that affects 3,000 words. This is in the Sinaiticus. This is the most, now we glanced at this last week, this is the most used document in all of the new Bible versions. Because remember, the Vaticanus is only be allowed to taken from the Vatican Library for short periods of time. The Sinaiticus is the one that they refer to just, you know, a la blanc, and they get all that they want. What's removed from Sinaiticus? Mark 16, 9 through 20. In other words, the last verses of Mark. The end of John is removed. 39 words from John 19. 20 words from John 20. 19 words are gone from Mark chapter 1. John 5, 4 is missing. John 16, 2 through 3 is missing. 1 John 5, 7. Acts 8, 37. And the book of Exodus, Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Amos, and Micah are gone also out of Sinaiticus. What does it have? It has Bel and the Dragon, apocryphal book. It has Tobit and Judith, the Epistle of Barnabas, and the Shepherd of Hermas. The Shepherd of Hermas, all of these apocryphal books, the Shepherd of Hermas is the one that tells you, take the mark of the beast. They're corrupt documents. To understand the cultic activity or the Theosophical Society, now let's look at, we're now in the 1800s, and this is a woman named Helena Petrovna Blavatsky. She lived from 1831 to 1891, and just be glad you can't see a close-up of her, because she does not have the joy of Jesus on her face. She was born in the Ukraine, in Russia. She claimed to be a psychic. She claimed as a child to have been given divine visions and experienced magical gifts. So, Madame, and she insisted on being called Madame Blavatsky. Okay? Then, she claimed to be able to move objects by psychokinesis. Does anybody understand? Anybody that claims to be a psychic or can move objects with the mind, do you understand that's demonic? In other words, they have contact with spirits that do the bidding for them, but there's no such thing as somebody that can move something with their head. I mean, other than, you know what I mean? But I'm talking the brain. That's demonic type stuff. But she's going to get into Satanism here. At age 17, she marries a 40-year-old man named General Nikifor Blavatsky. And then she leaves him after 3 months. So she's a good devil worshiper. She settled in Tibet. She claims to have gone all over the world to study spiritism and mysticism and went to Constantinople. There's no record that she went to any of these places. It's what she says. She went to Tibet, above India, and she's supposed to learn the spirit mysteries over there from the Buddhists and the Hindus. She went from being a piano teacher to a circus act as a spirit medium until she was discovered to be a fraud at age 40 in Cairo, Egypt. So she would sit in this tent and then she would have, there wouldn't be any lights, and she would then have this smoke machine going, and she would have everybody bow their eyes, and then she would go, "Look!" And there was this hand in the air, and everything was fine for a couple of weeks until somebody lifted the flap of the tent and they found some thin wire and a glove filled with cotton balls. She was found to be a fraud. All right. So she leaves Cairo, she leaves for Paris, she's there 2 years, and then she comes to America in 1873. Her specialty is holding seances for rich people over here in America. She founded the Theosophical Society in 1875. You say, what is theosophy? If you look up the definition, it means a knowledge of God that is achieved through spiritual ecstasy. That's emotion, right? Direct intuition or special individual revelations. So, that's theosophy. Theosophy is another word for Satan worship. It's just got a little more grandeur and fluff to it. She claimed to bring messages from two messengers. These are the name of her demons that she said she heard voices from. Kukomi and Mariah, however you say that. But these were the two people that she said she heard voices from all the time. You say, why are you doing all this? She took her Theosophical Society from America, then to England in 1880, where she meets Westcott and Hort, and Westcott and Hort join her Theosophical Society. This is where they're contacting the dead and having seances and all of this garbage. Now, anytime you hear a pastor say, the Greek says, or in the Greek it says, the question you need to ask is, what are you reading? Because the problem with saying in the Greek or the Greek says is there's no such thing as Greek. Right now there's over 220 manuscripts of Greek study, lexicons, and all of that, dictionaries, that if you're going to reference to tell you what a Greek word means and how it's used, there's 220 of them. When a pastor says, or a preacher, you know, in the Greek it says, you need to ask the question, which one? Which one are you looking at? Because in the Greek game, three guys can find, all they agree on is this, the King James Bible's wrong. That's all they agree on. Listen to any pastor on the radio or the internet that corrects their Bible. Here's what they agree. The King James is wrong. Listen to three guys correct the same word and you'll get three different definitions. All they care about is that your King James Bible is wrong. That's all they care about. 9 times out of 10, when a preacher or a minister says, in the Greek it says, they're referring to Kittle's Theological Dictionary of the New Testament. Who was Gerard Kittle? Kittle sounds Germany. Okay, sounds German. Gerard Kittle, he edited the 10-volume Theological Dictionary of the New Testament used in Greek word studies. You could call it a lexicon, but it is, if you go to any Bible college, they'll say, oh, the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, you've got to have this. It's $400 on Amazon. Regularly $700. They have a special price reduction right now. If you go to, and I'm not kidding you, there is not very many Bible colleges that don't push this. It doesn't matter what denomination they are. They'll say, Kittle's Theological Dictionary. Every student should want it to help them as they study the Word of God. The NIV translators, the New International Version, done in 1972, referred to this book just like all modern translators refer. This is the groundwork for Greek study. A man named Kittle did it. So who was Gerard Kittle? This is the standard to check meanings and uses of Greek words. Rudolf Kittle, his father, was a rationalist from Germany in the late 1800s. Anything coming out of the Germany in the 1880s is, I'm not kidding you, it's demonic stuff. It's devilish. That how to doubt the Bible, how to correct the Bible, critical text, how to criticize the Bible, all that came from Germany in the late 1800s. Rudolf Kittle, Gerard's father, was a part of that and the rationalism. Gerard, his son, got swept up in the spiritism, the mysticism, and the hatred for Jews, anti-Semitism. The New King James and all others use Rudolf Kittle's 19. This is his dad's. Rudolf Kittle is Gerard Kittle's dad. Rudolf Kittle in 1937 had a biblical Hebraica which followed the Leningrad manuscript. These are all corrupt documents. I'm just telling you they refer to the BH, the biblical Hebraica, or the biblical Hebraica in reference. These are corrupt documents. Rudolf Kittle, his father was a rationalist, and I already told you from Germany. Gerard, the son, is swept up in the hatred for the Jews. So what was the source then of the bizarre notions that swept through Germany in the 1930s? Hitler comes to power in 1933. But to do that, there's two things that Hitler's pushing. Remember, you heard Aryan race? White, blonde hair, blue-eyed. Isn't it funny that Hitler could push the Aryan race thing, but he himself wasn't blonde? Isn't that funny, you know? Isn't that funny? He could push it, but so the Aryan race is supposed to be the superior race, and then the Jews are considered the lowest race. Has anybody seen Hitler's list of who he was going to exterminate? It started with the Jews. Does anybody know who he was going after he got done killing the Jews? All blacks. Then on the next on the list. If you've not seen it, it's a list of 10 things of people. It was race, all this garbage. All this, where did that type of thinking come from? That you kill people that God made? How could you come up with such a stupid idea? Kittle's mysticism plus Hitler's occultism were at the root of these weird, obviously satanic ideas in Germany. You say, the U.S. Army, now watch this, discovered Hitler kept a copy of Madame Blavatsky's book, The Secret Doctrine, by his bedside. So the U.S. Army found this when they're doing the investigation. They found Hitler loved Blavatsky's book, The Secret Doctrine. What was in this book? The Secret Doctrine teaches that the fifth root Aryan race battles the Jewish race, and it called for the open worship of Lucifer. It's Satanism with a religious guise. So here Hitler's reading a book that says the Aryans are trying to exterminate the Jews. He gets all of this from Blavatsky. All of this from this book. The Secret Doctrine book was also used by mystical body societies of Germany after World War I. So that's going to be 1920s and 1930s. So this book that's teaching blonde-haired, blue-eyed people are superior and you kill everybody else, this book circulating for about 20 years. People are getting twisted ideas from it. Gerard Kittle was a member of the Theosophical Society in Germany. But this society in Germany was called at one time the Aryan Theosophical Society because it tied in with the Secret Doctrine book. Blavatsky's pamphlet that she was circulating before Kittle comes on the scene provided fuel for the crematoriums in the extermination camps. You know what the crematoriums were? Where they were burning, I mean, bodies all day long of the Jews. And through a period of, I think the gassings started in 1939. So in 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, in 6 years, they killed 6 million Jews. Who fueled all that? Blavatsky started it. You just burn them. Then Kittle gets a hold of it. Kittle, Gerard Kittle, he made this. Well, in the book of The Secret Doctrine, it makes a statement like this. There's an immense chasm between Arian and Semitic religious thought. Two opposite poles. Adolf Hitler learned his hatred for the Jews from Madame Blavatsky. That's pretty obvious. Mein Kampf, which was typed when he was in jail for his first rebellion, was written in memory of Dietrich Eckart, who was a disciple of Blavatsky, who taught Hitler. So Hitler dedicated his book on Mein Kampf to his best friend. All of these, y'all see how these are all tied with, these are nasty people, okay? I really am going somewhere with this. Hang on. 1930, Gerard Kittel joins the Nazis, and he says, Hitler says this, in a future world, the Jew will be exterminated. Keep in mind, Hitler said this in 1930. He comes to power in 1933. 3 years before he comes to power, Kittel saw God's hand in Hitler's coming to power. How you can twist that and the murder. Look, to kill Jews, if you've not been to the Holocaust Museum, you need to. It's phenomenal. You can't just show up. That's the only Smithsonian you can't show up to and just go through. You have to call and make an appointment. It's all free, but I took the teenagers there 6 times. You start on the 4th floor where Hitler comes to power, and then you work your way through the floors. By the time you get to the 3rd floor, they've got a scale of the concentration camp, crematoriums and stuff like this, and shows the Zylon B that they would drop into the showers and sucks all the oxygen out of air and kill. They were killing them by like 1,000 at a time. It's sick. This man, Gerard Kittel, was tried for war crimes at Nuremberg. Nuremberg war crimes? For crimes against humanity? That's how come when you see Kittel's Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, Volume 10 is smaller and it's incomplete. Do you know why? Because he was put in jail. Kittel wrote the anti-Semitic literature distributed by the Nazi Party, this man right here, used to indoctrinate the German people in their hatred for the Jews. And before they could kill the Jews, does anybody know what they were killing first in Germany? All of the educably slow children. And guess who they were killing before they were killing the educably slow children? The elderly people. Anybody who was a tax on society. And you see how it built? Well, you know, we just get rid of them because they're costing us, and they worked its way thinking to the Jews. All right? Kittel said when he would say this in, he was recorded as saying this in a church, because Hitler's now ordering the turning in of the Jews, they're taking them to concentration camps, and Kittel said to obey Hitler in killing the Jews is to obey God. Okay, stop. The Jews are God's people. Anything that goes against Israel or the Jews is satanic, right? Any common sense? How do you... A people, you mean, that's in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, you're trying to wipe off the face of the earth. All right? So, here's a man named Kittel saying this. Now, this is the question I want to ask you tonight. Why would you let a man teach you Bible truths from the Greek who is involved in Satanism, the Theosophical Society, and exterminating God's people from the earth? So you're going to take his 10-volume set, and you're going to read it while you read your Bible so that God can give you truths from the Greek. Are you kidding me? Does anybody see how corrupt that tool is? This is one of the most recommended Bible study tools by Bible colleges. You pay thousands of dollars to go off and get corrupted. Okay? Kittel's work was a satanic twisting of Christianity. He went to jail in 1940. He died in 48, but he died in jail. He died in jail. What a wicked man. Goebbels was the PR man. Kittel was the man writing the anti-Jewish literature. And, of course, then you go down Hitler's regime there. He promoted a new Bible version for Hitler's church that replaced, in Germany, they had Luther's German Bible. Keep in mind, Luther's German Bible had been in place for 400 years, right? 1520, right around there, Luther's going to do his version based on good text. Then Kittel comes along, and he's got to get the German people, and he's got to change their thinking. So how do you change the thinking? You change the Bible. Satan's subtle. Kittle said Luther's Bible was archaic. Where have you heard that before? People tell you, you know, you go into the Bible bookstore, I'd like to buy a King James. And what's the Bible seller tell you? Now, son, if you could have a brand new pair of shoes or a 400 year old pair of tennis shoes, what would you like to walk around in? The new pair, right? That King James Bible's 400 years old. You need something new. You need something updated. This is the selling point. You understand? Do you understand that's the selling point for all of the Bible versions? Okay. So, it needed to be replaced. I told you Gerard Kittle joined the Nazi Party in 1933. The same year began his work on the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament. So he's producing a lexicon of the Bible while helping Hitler kill Jews. Take your Bible and I believe, go to 2 Timothy 3:5. You just need to see this in your Bible. 2 Timothy 3:5. All of these people that create Bible study tools, whether it's Vines or West Word Studies or Liddell and Scott or Westcott and Hort, so many of these people that produce Bible study tools are in hell today. Kittle, there's nothing in Kittle's writings that shows that he was saved. But do you all understand how much he studied the Bible? New Greek, New Hebrew. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. They have a form of godliness. Their whole life is centered around the Bible, but they never found Christ. Westcott and Hort, to make fun of the blood of Jesus and to say there's no such thing as substitutionary atonement, and there's no place as hell, yet their whole life was centered around the Bible, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. Who's the power? The Lord Jesus, right? Kittle, doesn't that describe Westcott and Hort? Doesn't that describe Kittle? Doesn't that describe Origen? Doesn't that describe all of these people? Their whole life centered around the Bible and they never found Christ. You're in 2 Timothy 3:5. Go to 3:7. Watch this. They're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Who's the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So they're always studying in the name of scholarship and ancient documents and, you know, but they never find, I'll say it again, they never find Jesus. I'm not against education, but if education leads you away from God, you got a bad batch. Pitch the education and go with your Bible. Amen. Your Bible will increase your IQ while you read it. Makes you smarter. These people were stupid on purpose. And when you as we've been studying this, this thought just goes through my mind. They spent their whole life around the Bible and they died and went to hell. That's, to me, it's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. How do you claim to be a scholar of the Bible and never find Jesus Christ? Last verse there, if you want to look at verse 13, it says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Just stay in the Bible. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. What's the word scripture mean? Faithful copies, right? Faithful copies. What you have in your hand is a faithful copy. And did you know everything you need to know can be learned as a child? Here's what's scary. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says the Greeks follow after wisdom and the Jews seek after a sign. You know what all of us are prone to do? Every one of us is prone to exalt education. So if a pastor says something, but if a doctor says something, well, a doctor said it. Their scholarship intimidates us. And we as Gentiles will go, ooh, they're learned. But many of the people in scholars that deal with the Bible, not all of them, but many of them are lost people. Now, they got their degrees. They know 3 and 4 languages and blah, blah, blah. But we're so intimidated with scholarship and intellectualism. And That's just our plight. So as long as you're not intimidated and you learn not to be intimidated. Oh, you have a degree? Oh, wow. Okay. And that's because we're Gentiles. Okay? That's what we're prone to. Good Bibles, okay, and bad Bibles. All right? Tonight, if all we did was learn this, all the Bible versions come from Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. It's enough to leave the rest of the Bible versions alone. I hope you praise God for the Bible you got in your hands, okay? And you can praise God, I have God's Word. And, one more thought, how come all the Bibles that come out, the NIV, the ESV, the American Standard, how come none of them say this Bible is better than the Bible that just came out? What do they all say? This Bible is better than the King James. That's because the authorized version is what's at stake. It's about the Bible, the King James Bible. None of the others matter. Hold on to your Bible, read it, love it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. I ask that this be a help. Lord, you've given us so much.